since I was 15 years old, all I've heard is potential, potential, potential. It's the one thing that was always attached to me. But you can't live on potential forever.
13 eliminations for Brock Lesnar. Every single man in the Royal Rumble match has been eliminated by Lesnar.
Brock was on the rampage. He's a measuring stick of this industry. This was my chance.
Number 16, Drew McIntyre.
There's never been anyone in the WWE who has dominated the roster quite like Brock Lesnar. And then Brock Lesnar ran into me.
He knew I wasn't like everybody else around here.
Drew McIntyre's going to WrestleMania!
I'm going to beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania!
The main event of WrestleMania is a sham.
I was 21 years old. Mr. McMahon himself proclaimed me as the future of the company. Guess how many world titles I've won since then.
Drew McIntyre has never had an opportunity at a WWE championship.
Drew McIntyre is a hyped up fraud.
As hard as it is to admit, there's only one person I can blame for that. I lost passion at the time. I was in my own head. This guy's the future. I was concerned one day they were just going to say Drew's the past. In the end, I'll be damned if the world's going to remember Drew McIntyre as an idiot playing air guitar.
At WrestleMania, Brock Lesnar is going to F5 Drew McIntyre and be done with Drew McIntyre. Since 2002, Brock Lesnar has massacred WWE.
The most volatile,
the most dangerous,
most decorated
competitor,
predator
in the history
in all of WWE.
Brock Lesnar is the greatest champion to ever stand in a WWE ring. How in the hell can Drew McIntyre pin Brock Lesnar? He can't!
Suplex City, and demolishing that bitch to the ground.
The hype is real.
I'm just as big, just as fast.
Drew McIntyre cannot beat Brock Lesnar.
The biggest match of Drew McIntyre's career.
This has been 19 long years.
Drew McIntyre is going to be just another one to be that tried.
Finally, Drew McIntyre fulfills his destiny.
You can't beat Brock Lesnar.
I have to win.
He can't!
I am gonna kick that head off his body, and finally, Drew McIntyre will be WWE Champion!
Welcome, everyone, to The Wrestling Show, where we do a weekly in-depth dive-in report on everything that happened in the world of wrestling. I'm Cab Manning, along with Mr. Billy Botti.
It's the biggest show of the year.
This, you know, a tear dropped my eye. It'll be very interesting for us to talk because you were texting me during it and saying, what do you think and what the fuck is going on, this and that. And I ignored and I put aside. And then later on, I texted and said, because you were like, is anybody watching this? Because nobody was, like, your people were asleep and stuff like that. So I was like, no, I'm here. I'm just not going to comment because I figure it's best always if the first comments you hear are live on the show, so you don't know what's coming. You know what I mean?
Right.
So did you want to go match by match, or how did you want to conduct?
Yeah, go night by night, match by match. See, I don't know in terms of what even the other guys finished. I assume Nick was in and out because he's got stuff to do with the baby, and I don't think he watched any of the irrelevant stuff. I know Umar was up, or he was trying to be up, and I know he would have watched it back, but I think I got some like heat with him for telling him that his YouTube videos were pointless. So,
yeah, people who don't know, our boy Umar does YouTube, and I said, I go, you should call this show Tree in the Woods because nobody fucking hears it.
Listen, I was trying to actually be supportive because I'm listening to it, but my opinion was, you don't need to do this if you're just going to reiterate.
He's reading the news.
Yeah.
He's a news reporter. He's an anchorman. That's it.
Just a black news reader I've never seen before. But I mean,
he's got to give an opinion. That's what makes things. I mean, and like he said, he doesn't have to wish death on people. He can give an opinion.
Isn't that what I said? This is exactly what I said. Did you see what I said?
Yes, yes, yes. So I'm saying, you got that's exactly what you were talking about. You got to give an opinion. You're reading the news otherwise.
He said, I'll give an opinion if I have to, but I won't say anything to damage my credibility. I said, well, you've got
what
so
credibility
much
is he talking about?
Well, he does work as a solicitor, and he is like, he's involved with the Labour Party and stuff. But the thing is in that sense, don't do it at all. Like, don't waste your time. If your hands are tied and you've got a lot to lose, mm-hmm. then why bother? Like, YouTube is just for people that are lazy and want to generate money from content. But if you want to make money from content, then you have to make content that makes people want to watch your content. Like, you can't just reiterate. I mean,
I don't even know what these shows are at this point, because I listened to the first couple and it was,
well, you're getting a very basic like summary of the news. So essentially you could,
every day, is he just saying another person's dead? I mean, he just raises the number. I don't. There's nothing else to.
Well, he talks about Boris Johnson, who's like the Prime Minister of the UK, who he absolutely hates, but wished him well in his video. It's like, there's no point then.
You don't want people to die, I guess.
You don't want people to die, right? But as I said in the very message, wishing death on someone and pointing out the irony would make is not the same thing
two
at all.
Things,
the irony would be that he leads a party that's cut down public services, which basically means that all the health cuts and all the police cuts and all the lack of funding is all down to the party that he runs, and he's now in one of those hospitals. So the people that he wouldn't give pay rises to are saving his life. The people that he's people that he kept on £17,000 a year are responsible for keeping him alive. That's the irony.
Yeah,
and if
is.
He dies there,
it's a twilight
if he dies
zone.
There, yeah, if he dies there with all of the people that he's made to suffer, that would be a good irony, right? But
yeah.
But it wasn't pointed out. But anyway, that was my I don't actually know from that point. I don't know where we stood with WrestleMania, other than that there was confusion over the Funhouse and the Boneyard match was appreciated, but that's obvious comments that are echoed by most of the IWC. So we'll run through. When we get there, we'll get there, and we'll spend more time on those matches if we want to.
Sure. The funny thing is, going through these, it's almost like I have to have a button that I keep pushing every time I make a comment about a match that says, well, there was no fans. And I feel like I need to say that every fucking match, because that's how it feels about, well, if there was fans, this might have been better, or this would be really great if there were fans cheering at this point. Do you remember, and I'm sure you do, and I don't even know why I say do you remember, we talked about a couple weeks ago that they were throwing around the ideas of the Hall of Fame people being in the crowd and all the wrestlers in the back being in the crowd. And we shit on it pretty good.
Pretty good.
We said, this is, you know, this would be stupid. It's weird. It's terrible. At one point, I was begging.
Oh, what
for
you
this.
Mean when I heard before they announced it that this was the, this is what they
that
wanted.
That was the plan. Yeah. And I was begging for it. I said, what made me think it would be good is from when I was like watching Raw and seeing, the primetime players out there with the EST girl, and they were cheering the whole time she was wrestling and banging on the mat and hooting and hollering. And I said, it fucking helped. Just that little bit, it fucking helped. And you see when AEW did it and people were yelling in the fucking crowd, it fucking helped. You could have the good guys on one side of the stadium, the bad guys on the other side, and hoot and holler. And it would have made so much fucking difference. To it was fucking startling to when they would play a replay, you would hear Cole screaming in the background on commentary because it was fucking, they could hear him doing commentary. It's so fucking quiet. Yeah. And I really thought they started off to get into the matches now. They started off, I think maybe the first three matches were dog shit to me. I was fucking, I thought they were, I don't even know if they were bad quality when it comes to an actual match, but I was bored to fucking tears. And I don't say like, well, if there was a crowd, I would have been more into it, because once it got to the ladder match, I thought that match was fucking fantastic. Of course, a crowd would have helped, but I was actually watching it interested. So it didn't mean only because of a crowd. But that Alexa match was 100 times too fucking long, and I was fucking bored to tears. The fucking Becky and fucking the guy she wrestled, what's his name? Baszler. That was fucking an awful match. I don't know how people thought that was any good.
I thought that was okay. I thought that they
did nothing.
It was a physical match, and it was the better use of the facility in terms of if you're going to be inside that arena. Whereas I felt like, okay, Corbin and Elias was terrible in under any setting, right? So we'll just skip past it. It was just way too long. All that needed to be was Corbin calling him out, trying to count him out to 10, and Elias just smashes a guitar over him. You didn't actually need to do the match. Yeah. You just needed to do the angle. The first match was made all the mistakes that the long TV matches had made. They can't be good because there's no crowd, so you need to like learn how to work around it. They didn't. I'm sure they had a fine match if there was a crowd there, but I mean, watching it back, which I have done, it looks fine in terms of what they did, but in terms of, you've got to adjust to your surroundings, and I feel like Raw was the worst Raw I've ever seen in my life, because they didn't, to put Black and Cruz out there for what felt like an hour was just the worst idea possible.
Well, no, the worst idea was the fucking primetime players to start the show for 45 fucking minutes.
Yeah, and to rotate that three times to try and do three matches. I mean, that was just pure bad. It was taped before WrestleMania, actually, so maybe that's why it was that bad.
That is odd. But it was taped before WrestleMania. Well, they
didn't want to. There was apparently a lot of effort to like to change the set and everything, so they wanted just to get it all canned. That's why Drew ended up doing a WrestleMania
post
after WrestleMania match instead of a Raw. So getting back to where we're at, Becky and Shayna didn't work that kind of match. They worked something different in terms of letting people into the ring. The shots were closer. There were forearms. They seemed to have worked that away in terms of making it the right length and the right type of match in terms of how to use that setting. Now, the finish was obviously done. It wasn't a WrestleMania finish. It was done to make sure that those two carried on, which is probably why that was moved out of the main event, despite the fact that the pre-show said it was the main event. It didn't end up being the main event, and I think that's because they did that finish. Whereas I think if Becky had tapped her out or Shayna had tapped her out, it would have been the end of the feud, but this feud carries on, so therefore the match goes on third. But I think everything up until the finish was okay.
Do you realize, I was watching SmackDown, and I was going to text you after I had watched it, but I said, save it for the show. I said, this is why Cena is like really good and a professional and a level above all the people that are wrestling right now. Because of the simple fact, when he came out on SmackDown, he looked around and was like, damn, nobody's here, and talked to the camera and said, hey, you guys can hear us now. You know, we're doing this for you. Let's go. And he didn't fucking bounce side to side in the ring, throw his hat to the crowd, lift his hands up and play to a crowd, because there's no one there. It's very obvious, right, that this, you should conduct yourself a lot different when you come out now. You shouldn't fucking throw your arms up and display yourself like there's any fucking crowd. You should almost walk to the ring like it's business. And all the rest of them, They are like fucking robots with no brains because they all come out and look around and put their hands up. It's like they're fucking retarded that they don't know. Oh, it's different. I need to adjust on the fly. So all these times we yell at them for having scripts and why don't we let them ad lib? Thank God they write for them because they're fucking retarded and they can't do it on their own if they had to because none of them can adjust on the fly. If anything gets changed, they will be absolutely lost. Like you've seen Roman before not knowing his lines and all that. And it's like, you don't have the capability to, you know, riff or change things if you have to. That shows somebody's a professional and somebody's not. And Cena showed it was like a different world when Cena came out compared to everyone else coming out and putting on their same. It's like, I got to flip the switch and do the same robotic stuff I do every time I walk to the ring and I can't change anything about it. It's fucking pathetic.
Yeah, I mean, that segment on Friday, I guess, falls under the show. So that was the that was the best thing that happened on that show, was right at the end. Otherwise, that SmackDown was a rough watch. We'll get to it in a minute because I want to get to how the big angle they did to get Strowman into the match. So we're at the ladder match here anyway. I disagreed with you on the women's match. I don't think it was great, but I don't think it was bad. I think that was the sign of where, for me, where things started to improve, because I said to Austin, I was like, this is so bad. And he said, yeah, I know. And I said, like, should we go to bed and just watch it in the morning so we're not tired for tomorrow?
Yeah, right.
He was like, no, like one more match. He was like, oh, it's a Becky match. We stayed. And oh, it's the ladder match. So we ended up staying.
Mm-hmm.
But,
oh, if I lived there, there's no chance in hell I'm watching any of this live. I wouldn't be watching Raw live. That's for damn sure. I think you kind of stopped, didn't you? Doing Raw live, except for this last one, because, of course, it's like Raw after Mania. You stay up for special stuff.
I didn't stay up for Raw after Mania.
Oh, like, you didn't?
It's not Raw after Mania, is it?
Oh, wow. I'm surprised.
No, it's not going to be good.
But that shows you what's happened, because you were constantly up. You would never be missing Raw. Now you're like, I'm going to fucking bed. Because it's not like you're going to wake up to some spoiler.
No, that was going on before this whole lockdown situation anyway. And when Drew was getting pushed, I started staying up again for a bit. But yeah, quite quickly, it just seemed like he was just squashing people. Like that was his thing. I mean, that was the best idea they had for him. We decided to stay away because the matches were starting to get better. The ladder match was something that we wanted to see. And then I think then the progressive curve continued on through to this Rollins and Owens match as well. At first, I thought they were actually going to stick with that DQ that they did. But in the end, they did a proper WrestleMania match with a WrestleMania moment off the sign and all that. So up until this point, I actually think that now it's becoming an acceptable show. I already think at this point that five matches in, it may not be as bad as WrestleMania 9 and 11.
You see, I was trying to think of it. 11 never even registers to me that it was bad. I get where 9 is weird, but I really like the ending of 9, so it kind of saves it for me. However,
well, I watched everyone back recently, haven't I? So, and I just think that because of all the nostalgic stuff that surrounds 9 and how talked about it is, it actually then comes off as not being as bad in terms of Hogan winning the belt at the end, and there's the doink stuff and, you know, what Michaels has gone on to become, and then he has a match at the start with Tatanka, and it's like Michaels goes on to be Michaels, but Tatanka can't lose because he's still unbeaten, and there is stuff there, and it all moves pretty quick. It's all like 9 minutes, 8 minutes, 9 minutes, and even stuff like, all right, did Gonzalez and Undertaker have a bad match? But it's not a boring thing that happened where he suffocated him with a towel. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's not as 11 is just outright bad, and so is 27 and a few others that just dragged along, where, like, you know, Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler had like 30 minutes to wrestle. But this was looking like an absolute 100% guarantee as being at the bottom. No crowd. Like, they didn't know how to work the matches. It was all like performance end of shit. And then we get three matches here, which are decent, and they really would have been much better with a crowd. Obviously, we keep saying it, but already, like, already these three matches, like, would have pushed it up anyway. I don't know what you thought of them.
I really need to rewatch night one, because I do admit I went in with a sour fucking face. I had a sourpuss on me because I was annoyed that this is what they were doing anyway. So you kind of already are starting off in a hole that you got to dig yourself out of, because I'm not giving it a fair chance right off the bat. And I try to, and I'm like, I'm going to watch it for what it is. There's nothing else fucking going on in the world. I need something to watch. And so you hope for the best. But you do find yourself, much like when Raw's on, looking at your phone, you know, doing something. It's like you're not in it. You're not with it. And I really need to give the Owens Rollins a second look, because I was kind of like fading out, where I was like, I just didn't care. It wasn't even like, oh, there's a bad match. I didn't give a fuck. And I started realizing also, all the fucking best matches are on night two. It was like, there was two that could be fucking,
away. We missed Brian and Sami Zayn completely, by the way.
And you know what? That was the one I was looking forward to, saying, okay, when there's a great match, this is the one it's going to be. And I couldn't tell you. I can't tell you right now how it ended. That's how much I've forgotten it. I don't know how the match ended. I just know that Brian doesn't have the belt, but I can't tell you. Did he pin Brian? Or I don't even know.
Yeah, Brian got distracted and got caught with a haluva kick. I think he came off the top rope and got caught with a haluva kick. The thing is that these guys utilized the performance center better as well. So it's surprising to me that they had this all in the can and they went with those first two matches, because they really, maybe, and they were done to like lower expectations, because I legit at these first two matches thought that it was really bad. And I thought Becky and Shayna worked well in terms of having that up close stuff. Brian and Sammy did something completely different, where they just created so much noise between Sammy and Brian talking to each other.
And they had friends at ringside yelling and shit.
Like, and that one passed by as well. The ladder match was the ladder match. Like, you need the oohs and ahs or whatever. But
oh,
there was
big time. And they were killing themselves. They busted their ass in that ladder match, which, and how funny is it that Fausti texts me, he goes, how could the cameraman miss that fall? I go, because it's pre-recorded and he fell on a fucking crash pad. That's why. Where he fell off the top of the ladder, one of the Usos, and they didn't show it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, well, yeah, obviously he fell on a pillow.
See, again, there can be pros and cons to it. Obviously, the biggest con is there's no crowd, but the pro is that, like, the bumps.
Yeah.
The bumps sort of felt harder with the no crowd thing. So, again, I was trying to look for the positives, because I'm sitting there with Austin and we're already not going. And we don't want it to be shit. And two matches in, it is shit. It's like worse than we expected, because, like, you know, I expected it to be, some of it to be passable. I thought they could get out of it with maybe two matches that were decent, especially, you know, with, in terms of, and breaking it up with a Boneyard match in the middle, which is where I thought it would go. And in the end, there was more stuff than I expected that was passable or good.
You know what's funny is I was listening to Bischoff do his review and Conrad, and the one thing I was annoyed by that they said was they bring up the whole, you know, don't play to a crowd that's not there, you know, and same theory that I was having. But they shit on Daniel Bryan for the yes chant. And I was yelling at the fucking radio going, But it was Gronk and Mojo doing the yes chant, and they like pointed to them like, oh, that's funny. Okay, I guess we'll do the yes chant. So it wasn't like he was doing the fucking yes chant to the crowd with nobody there. He was playing to Gronk, and like they made it clear. So I was just annoyed by, come on, give credit. That he's not a fucking moron and did this.
I haven't listened to anyone's reviews. I think I done Post Wrestling's review of the Boneyard match. I skipped forward to it.
There's one review that I will have clips of, I guarantee you, next week, and we will talk about. And that's somebody having love for another wrestler.
Oh, God. I can't even imagine.
I can't wait to hear our horse-tooth jackass friend proclaim his love and how Drew texted him saying, I wish you were here tonight. So you could have caught Corona. And, I can't fucking... A fan of ours. We have a nice CIA hole, right? Somebody who's... they follow Steel Cage and they follow Derek. And it's basically to spy for us. Because they'll take snapshots and send it to us. And go, take a look at this shit, right? And they sent the picture of Derek with the fucking horse teeth. with Drew, and yes, he did it and everything. So I fucking reply to it, and I'm like, oh my God, and I go, this fucking slob, you know, right? And he then tweets us back next day, and he goes, well, there goes that. And he was blocked by Steel Cage and blocked by Derek. So I'm like, so obviously they're monitoring my fucking Twitter. So they like give themselves up that they're actually, you know, following me, seeing what I say about it. So he will be listening to the show, and I'm sure he listens to this to see. And I really think after the last time we busted his fucking balls to death about that special love that he and Drew have and what a fucking, you know, weirdo fucking liar he is, I guarantee you now when he is giving the review, it will be toned down so fucking much because he's like a fucking retarded child who doesn't want to have any criticism or anything bad said about him. And so he's going to really be watching his words, knowing we're going to listen to what the fuck he has to say.
You think? Or you think?
I guarantee you. He's
what do you think? It's more important to him to pretend that he's really involved.
I think he's going to try to walk a thin line and not say certain things. Like, how could I say something so I'm not made fun of because he's so soft that he can't be made fun of and his feelings get hurt so easily? Like, he's got to block people because someone says something about him. And I mean, you saw that picture of him that I tweeted out with his teeth protruding while he was sleeping. You know he doesn't like all that shit. That shit's out there constantly and people fucking make fun of him. It's going to be so good. I can't wait to hear it.
It's probably already done, isn't it?
It should be. I would think it was done yesterday. I haven't checked, though, today because I don't subscribe. So I got to actually like search it out and type it in to find it. Well, what's funny, though, is, you know, like podcasts, you can't block people. You can't say, well, I don't want this motherfucker to listen. And so it's got to drive him crazy that we all have access to listen if we want to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and so I'll be, have clips pulled.
Exactly. Can pull the clips and everything as well. He's not going to sue us, is he?
No, you can't. You can't. That's public. So.
All right. So we're up to, where are we up to? We've done Rollins and Owens, which you said you want to watch back again. So then after that, we go to Goldberg and Braun Strowman.
Am I wrong that I love Goldberg matches? Am I a horrible human being for enjoying them?
What, just the quickness of them.
I fucking enjoy it. It's like I've always said I enjoy a monster in wrestling. I don't like the small guys. When I fucking was in the wrestling school, they wanted me to fucking wrestle because I have coordination and I could fucking do stuff. And I said no. I go, no, I don't believe anyone my size should be a fucking wrestler. It's fucking ridiculous. I'm like, I'm very much a Vince McMahon. I like a fucking monster. I would only have fucking big guys. I would never let Brian have a chance. I'd be like, I need a guy with size. I need something believable that's bigger than somebody sitting in the crowd. I need something, you know, that stands out. That's what I enjoy to see. Hell, I used to wrestle in the ring with, you know who Vic Grimes is now, probably. You heard the name Vic Grimes from the Dark Side of the Ring, where New Jack and him were killing each other.
Right. No, I don't remember it, but
yeah, he's the guy who threw off that fucking thing.
Yeah,
all the tables.
I didn't know his name was Vic Grimes. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so I was in school with him, and we would mess around in the ring and go over a couple spots and stuff like that. And I was doing, like, it was funny because I'd be doing stuff like, I did the stinger splash to him, and I would dive through the ropes like Brian, and he would catch me and shit. And he's like, you sure you don't want to wrestle? Because I can actually do it. And I was like, no, because it's ridiculous. And it was the same time that Spike Dudley came out of that school. And he was like 130 pounds. But I was like, yeah, it just, even though he made it and made himself something, you know, I'm just like, I just don't, it's ridiculous. I'm diving out of the ring and, you know, Vic's pretending like he's hurt by me landing on him when I was 160 pounds.
No, I was the same. I think when I was involved in it, I kind of felt like this is only so far I can go. I've never been able to, like,
at least
pack on
tall.
Size or whatever.
That helps. At least your height. You have height.
Well, I didn't know what the evolution of the business was going to be, where we would start making these guys, you know, champions and whatnot. Because I mean, that's the thing. Like, Brian was considered small, and CM Punk was completely acceptable by that time, and he's just pretty much the same size as I am. So,
yeah, you know what's funny too is Brian was the became the head trainer at my place too. So they were littered with tons of fucking people, and you know, Great Khali trained there too. And that's the place he killed somebody. You know that story?
No.
Yeah, he killed someone by accident, obviously.
What, in training?
No, during a match. Because they would have a match that called Gym Wars. And they would, their training facility, every like once a month, they would have fans come in and, you know, they have a fucking federation. And I guess he double chokeslammed, like, you know, held a guy up like he was choking him with both hands and slammed him down. And guy fucking got a brain aneurysm, fucking blew up and fucking died. And family sued the fucking company and everything. But guy has insurance, you know, the guy running it. He, you know, it's a business. So insurance paid him $1 million. And that was that. Jeez, but yeah, he killed
someone.
He
got a brain aneurysm from a bump.
Yeah, because he fucking slammed him down and his head fucking bounced off the fucking mat.
But guys do that all the time in wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like, I don't even think he really did anything wrong. It just happened to be. I mean, shit happens. It wasn't like he threw him outside the fucking ring even, where it was like, well, that's a little fucking dangerous. But I guess he fucking slammed so hard. But yeah, he that's not really crazily known. I mean, it's known if you look it up, but it's not something that, like, every time someone sees him, they go, oh, he fucking killed someone. But I mean, the guy flew from India and lived at the gym. Like, that's what he was going to do. I'm like,
see, I
know, like, no English or anything.
He was on, like, a list of wrestlers that had murdered somebody, like Scott Hall has as well. But I always thought he.
Well, the Scott Hall one, he actually got into it for real. He tried to kill somebody, but like, it's the same as like when Mysterio supposedly killed someone, right? Because the guy fucking fell against
the
ropes.
But I always thought Carly's was in the Indian prison that he worked in.
Oh no, not at all. This was in Hayward, California.
Maybe he killed two guys. I don't know. All right, so you like this match then, basically?
Yeah, I think it is what it is, and that's all you're gonna get from a fucking Goldberg match. I mean, they could have done a little bit more than let's just do each other's finish three times. And I don't know. I think, you know, they missed the boat, I think, on Strowman like 2 years ago when he should have fucking won the title. And now it's like he loses. Because the first thing I said is I go, oh, Sami Zayn should challenge him for the belt. He could win it because he fucking already beat him, you know? So it's shit like that. But I mean,
it's,
I like Strowman.
Yeah, I mean, Strowman off the back of when he was popular did get a contract for $2 million a year, which is what he gets. And Oh, I don't know if that's his contract, actually. I know he got paid. It was published that he got paid $2 million last year. So I imagine his contract's about $1.5 million. But regardless of that, you have to do something with him. And you have to, at some point, get him back to that level. I don't think the intention was to keep him down in the mid-card where he's been. So you might as well pull the trigger. And my main problem is that this Goldberg thing was done to have the Goldberg-Reigns match. That's why you sacrificed Bray Wyatt.
And you know what? You
sacrificed him for nothing.
I would actually, I was very interested before everything went to shit that it was going to be Goldberg and Reigns. I said, that's an actual, I would like to actually see that match because it's two bulls going after it. And I don't think it'll just be, you know, two moves either. I think they would actually go for a little bit and try to do something. And I've always said, I think the only spear I think that is realistic is Goldberg's, because he really would fuck people up. But I hate that Edge would do the spear, because I'm like, he's a skinny fucking guy. Give me a break. It doesn't ring true to me for shit. Now everyone does this fucking spear. I'm like, stop with the spear. I believe Rhino, because he's fucking enormous, so he looks like he'd fuck you up, you know, shit like that. But these are like Roman, they look soft when they fucking go in, you know, because it's very proper. But I'm watching the old Nitros, and fucking Goldberg nearly kills Lodi. I was like, oh, fucking Christ. Like, he throws Lodi so hard into the fucking ropes that he almost falls running to the ropes. And so he hits the ropes awkwardly and comes off of them fucked up and staggering. And he gets fucking stuck, man. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. I'm like, no wonder everyone's like, fucking Goldberg gonna kill somebody. I know, that's why Bret Hart's like, fuck this, I don't want to wrestle him anymore. But
well, yeah, I mean, bro, I only had to wrestle him once to get killed, concussion.
And he barely got hit too, if you watch that match. He barely kicked him. It was like, fuck, it looked like Bret, you know, took the bump and didn't even take the fucking kick, but shit happens, like we say. But, yeah, as we know with that match, Strowman and him, that was some storyline that they built up about...
I couldn't believe they changed it with a graphic.
What did they even say? What did they say about it? Because me and Faust didn't even, like, remember. How did they go about this? They just said Roman Reigns isn't wrestling.
No, they didn't say Roman Reigns' name. They said they were running through the match card on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
And they said... he said, this match is, and for the Universal title, that's exactly what they said, actually. They said, and for the Universal title, it will now be Goldberg versus Braun Strowman. They didn't say anything about a change. Wow. They didn't even say Roman Reigns' name. The graphic came up and they just said, and for the Universal, it will now be. Like, that was it.
Wow. That is, I wonder if they're just like, everybody reads the sheets. They fucking know. We don't need to fucking say. Maybe they just think it's so well known at this point.
Well, that's the thing. I'm sure they had like an idea that they were gonna go with, but instead, this is what happened. So
I'm sure he's thrilled though. But I mean, we'll get to after this is done and we get to Superstars the next night. I mean Raw, and see.
Well, we're not going to spend too much time on that.
Good, because my main question is, they didn't record SmackDown, right?
No.
So what the fuck is going to be on Friday? They can't record, can they?
They're supposed to be, the thing's supposed to get lifted tomorrow, so they're supposed to go back and do TV tomorrow. Well, they might do a live SmackDown on Friday.
How is it being lifted already? They're done? They're all cured over there?
Well,
I've been in the house for months.
Florida's quarantine is supposed to, it was supposed to be a 2-week quarantine, and there hasn't been an extension announcement yet. But even if it is extended, it doesn't mean it's not going to stop them traveling to the performance center, because it's a closed set. Like, you don't really know what's going on there. So.
That'll be interesting.
Until they're specifically told that they can't film and they need to be shut down.
I can't believe they promoted Money in the Bank next month.
Well, they're doing it. They're going to do it in there, aren't they?
I guess if they have to. I mean, if I were them, I would wait until that day fucking before to see if possibly they're saying, okay, people can go to arena, but there's no way people can go to a fucking arena at this point. And I think they should be smart and have people in the crowd, have their own wrestlers.
If they can just start having people in the performance center. At least when WrestleMania was originally announced, the limit was down to 50, and it very quickly got reduced down to 10, didn't it?
Yeah, real quick. So I can't imagine. Some experts were saying they think 4th of July actually is going to be the day that it's we're out of the woods. But you don't want to fucking do that too soon shit, dude. It's like, oh, we're fine. And then one person coughs and it's fucking, here we go again. You know, you need it wiped the fuck out. So anyway, but I really think if they did like AEW, put your own fucking wrestlers in the fucking crowd. Have you'd be all spread out all over the fucking place. Meanwhile, they're wrestling each other. So why even fucking spread out? What's the fucking sense?
We'll do all the conspiracy theories about it and that have been rampant this week on the Man Show, because that's really what that show's become.
Sure.
Fucking COVID show. So,
all right. So after that, we get the best match of the night, if you want to call it a match.
Or the whole weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was fucking spectacular. Obviously there was a couple campy spots where I was like, what are they doing? You know, but being able to hear them talk made this fucking thing, because that's kind of like what a real fight would be if...
Oh, the acting and talking was what made it. I mean, because it's a great setting, but it is just punches and kicks. But the way they made those punches and kicks count with every word that they uttered, and in terms of how it was structurized, in terms of Taker's on top, then AJ gets on top with the help of them, and then Taker gets out of that grave, and it was all like good storytelling and good narration and everything throughout. So I thought it was like really well done. Here's the problem though, the main problem coming out of it. Do you ever want to see The Undertaker in a wrestling ring having a wrestling match again when he's just produced that?
You know, it's funny. I have heard from multiple people have said the same exact thing, where they go, Undertaker could now go another 10 years if they want him to.
Of course he can, yeah.
Because he could do this.
Because if someone can't get up for a chokeslam, they just can just refilm it until he hits it.
Yeah, and just keep on fucking... You could just do this, and you could take your time. His body won't be really hurt at all, because you could set up the bump. And Faust said to me...
How old is Chuck Norris?
Oh, I think maybe 70 now.
And he still does fight action scenes, right?
Oh, I don't know if he's in any movies at this point. I haven't seen him in a fucking while. He's still wearing a wig, hiding. Fausti fucking mentioned, and I didn't even think about this, and we need
he's
to...
He's fucking 80.
He's 80?
Yeah.
Holy God. He's been around a long fucking time. I mean, he was fighting Bruce Lee, if you think about it, so...
Well, he looks good for 80, but I mean...
With that full head of hair, right?
Hmm. So he was doing stuff 10 years ago.
Well, here's the thing that you need to bring up to Drew and say, you need to go fucking tell somebody this, just to get it in somebody's fucking ear. We can finally get Sting versus Undertaker if they do it this way, and have it be great.
I wonder,
and Sting could lose again.
That does seem like, I mean, people will complain. People will complain because they don't get to see it in the stadium. Because next year, when you're back in a stadium, they're going to want it there, and you know that it's not realistic. I don't think this is the last Boneyard match he has, but I still think that he'll go back in the ring.
You don't even need it to be a Boneyard match. It could be anywhere. They could do a fucking street fight, whatever, a warehouse match, whatever the fuck you want to do. Hell, you could actually have it in a fucking empty arena and film it and say, remember they did Eddie and Cena in the fucking parking lot, and they had all the cars around and everyone honking and fucking, you know, all the wrestlers were lined up around it and shit. They could do it like that and say, you know, if he's having a real feud, and be like, We're not having a fucking wrestling match. We're having a fucking fight, a street fight.
See, I'm not sure if you can make that even look good when it's just a regular fight, especially if it goes long. Because, I mean, Edge and Orton didn't really pull it off on night two, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah. And it's
funny. We'll get to that. We'll get to that any minute. Just in regards to this match, like, I mean, the consensus is that this was the best match of the night and the best match of the weekend.
Yeah. There's, like I said, there's those little parts where you're like, why are they playing music behind it? You know, it's not a fight now. It's a fucking movie. But like they're saying, like anything new is going to be at first, like, what the fuck is going on? And why are they doing that and shit? And then it's going to get, you know, like I thought it was Lucha Underground when I was first watching it, because that's how they would do things. But we get used to shit. The main thing I didn't like was that Undertaker's about to get buried and he's magical and he shows up behind AJ. I don't like that kind of shit. I don't like the magic. I'm like, I know it's supposed to be fucking, you know, bullshit and everything, but come on, give me a little realistic. Like, he was about to lose, and he fucking rises behind AJ?
Yeah,
what the fuck is this?
Yeah, I mean, well, that has been his character most of the time. The only thing is that the weird thing is that he turned up as American badass. Dude didn't have those powers. So it was a bit conflicting, but either way.
Mm-hmm. So there's night one in the books. Your thoughts?
Yeah.
I was more looking forward to the second night because I said, well, there's only two matches that I don't give a shit about in the next
night. They raised the expectation quite high for night two here after night one because I felt that they over-delivered here. I felt like I went in with expectation that they wouldn't let it be as bad as the TV shows have been and the TV matches.
Yeah.
But they were bad for the first two matches, and it looked like it was going to be a real letdown. See, then, obviously, it picked up match by match by match by match, and then, obviously, we get that main event, which would have fit in at any given time or any pay-per-view. So
the only thing I thought after the first night, because I did think it was terrible the whole night except for Taker, I was bored because they lulled me to sleep in the first few matches, so I was, like, done, was after watching that Taker thing, I got real excited for the Firefly Funhouse. I said, I can't imagine what the fuck they're going to do. So that's what I was looking forward to.
Well, I don't know what you think of it because you didn't tell me. We'll see. Yeah. All right. So where are we at? Well, where are we?
Night two.
What opened night two? Yeah. Night two was shit. The opener was Charlotte and Ripley, right?
Yeah. Charles Flair against O'Reilly. Rhea Ripley. And I thought it was a great fucking match. I mean, and all I kept thinking too is, like, when certain parts were coming, I go, oh, I could see it in my head, like the crowds getting up and getting on, you know, going wild. I thought they did a fucking great job though. And being the expert in wrestling that I am, and being wrong in every fucking match that I ever pick, didn't I say from day one, there is no chance in hell they let Charlotte win this title. I said that shit up until the fucking final tap. I was like, there's no way in hell Charlotte wins this match. Because why would they put her on NXT? Welp, I know what I'm talking about. Because Charlotte won the fucking title.
I don't know if they think that she will get ratings on that. I mean, I've never known Charlotte Flair to generate ratings. I mean, nobody generates ratings now. It doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah, no. I mean, you got to be Hogan coming back. You have to be an old-timer coming back. It's not, oh, I can't wait to watch a Charlotte match. I'm going to turn on the fucking TV.
Yeah, I mean, people will lose. You know, people can lose ratings, but I've never seen anybody really spike it. The only guy I've seen recently in the last few months was Cena's return.
I'd say Brock, too, would... You know, when they say Brock's going to be on TV, because it's like the old school Hogan days. You don't see him all the time, so it's special.
Yeah, I mean, there's no significant evidence for it, but there was a big jump when Cena came back the other day, when he made his return to say that he didn't want to take a WrestleMania moment. And then Bray Wyatt pointed to the sign and
he said, okay, decided, fuck it.
Yeah.
All right, since you asked, fuck it.
Yeah, I think this match was again, I think it's carried on from Becky and Shayna, where they, obviously a bit longer, but in terms of they used the cameras and things a different way. They did different things, whereas Bliss and Nikki Cross and those guys were flying off the ropes and all that kind of stuff, whereas these guys kept it down to where the cameras could capture it in from up close. There was a lot of like up close shit.
And you imagine the screaming that Ripley must do in the bedroom.
Yeah, because exactly, there was all that vocalization as well. So I remember they were getting in close because I remember thinking, Ripley had bigger tits than I thought she had.
Oh yeah, and they're real as could be too because they're flipping and flopping.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, they were. So what was next?
I don't know what the next match is. Actually, is it?
Oh, I thought you.
No, I don't have the order in front of me at all.
2 seconds. I'll do it.
Okay. I don't think, was it Aleister Black already? The second match? I think it probably was Aleister Black and the other Black.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Because this match, I didn't watch a minute of. I said, oh, this match is on. It's time to go make nachos.
Well, you would have missed the Lana.
I heard what happened. And I saw her come out. I just want to see what she was wearing at first. And then, like, I was getting texts while it was going on, and they're like, oh, they're breaking up Lashley and Lana.
And then so he got the promo the next day going, I might need a new manager and I might need a new wife. Like, I mean, you don't need any wife, really. I mean,
yeah, new.
the line is, I might need a divorce.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really it. Because you don't need either of the other two, the manager or the wife, but either way. I mean, he's never been the best at talking, even with this like edited environment that they're in. But I thought the match was fine. It wasn't offensive. It was only 7 minutes. The next match was 8 minutes and felt much longer with Otis and Ziggler out there. And it was all building towards this Mandy stuff, which definitely needed a crowd.
Like, oh, God.
This should so have been kept off.
Yep.
Like, because the story wasn't even ready to blow yet. And they did that reveal on SmackDown with the weird guy with the hood.
Mm-hmm.
The GTV again.
Didn't you say it was Killer Cross?
That's the guy. He's on NXT.
Yeah, but is that supposed to be him?
No, he's on NXT separately now. He's involved with he was introduced in the Gargano and Ciampa segment, so I don't know if he's involved with them or not.
So is it going to be Ali G that's this fucking guy?
I've no idea.
Oh, I thought you had told me once that it was Killer Cross.
Yeah, I thought it was Killer Cross because they'd signed him, but then he's going to NXT. So.
I got you. Okay. Because I was like, I swear I heard that. Because everyone always asks me who the fuck it was, and I'm like, fuck, I ask Billy all the time. I'm not going to ask him again. I keep forgetting the fucking name. And I had said to someone right before this Mandy thing, before she even came out, I go, because I was kind of expecting this type of ending, you know, and, you know, he gets the girl and it's the end, and you would expect it, the kiss thing. And I said, do you think they will waste that kiss here? Because that would be the stupidest thing in the world, because you would want the crowd to be like, oh, fuck. And I'm like, it makes no sense if it's just this. And boy, talk about her not wanting to kiss him.
Did you get that vibe?
Oh, my God. Apparently, everyone said, oh, it's very much like Brooke Tessmacher and Bully Ray, where she was pulling away the whole time, too. Because Otis went in for twice, and it was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, oh, she's just actually popped up on Instagram. How weird, as we're talking about her. She's just doing a live video.
Huh. Yeah, she's probably like, oh, I still have brushed my teeth 10 times.
Yeah, she looked good in that that video that the girls did.
Oh, she looked fantastic. That video is fantastic that the girls did for the Don't Rush challenge. And, of course, Lana proves, again, what an attention whore she is, because she's the only one in the video that had 50 fucking outfit changes when it's not necessary and everyone did one. And she's got her TikTok fucking name all over her fucking video. She's the only one. Like, get her the fuck out of here. And I laughed at her ugly part where she's down-dressed and has to dress up. She's in a fucking bikini outside. That's her being ugly.
Doing TikTok videos.
Yeah. I'm like, holy fuck. Oh, I can't stand her. I can't wait until fucking Rusev gets rid of her.
The last man standing match was next. I just thought...
Second longest match ever, right?
Well, in WrestleMania history.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Only to the Iron Man.
It felt like the Iron Man match because it was, some of the stuff was so redundant. It was like four hardcore matches rolled into one when it could have been better if it was 15 minutes. To tell you what was funny though, what I did get a kick out of is how everybody was offended by the weightlifting spot on the weights machine.
Oh, yeah. They're even like, Conrad brought it up. Can you believe that? I was like, wow. Like,
how can you reference like Chris Benoit? It's like they probably didn't and even think
about
it.
I'm sure they didn't even think about it. Of course not. Vince would have never allowed that shit if that's the case. You know that. But everyone, right away, I was getting texts left and right. And then I saw Umar said the same exact thing because I was going to say it to the group. And I was like, well, Umar already jumped on that where it was like, oh, look, the Benoit spot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I would have noticed it either. But the thing is that in regards to that spot, that information has only recently come out exactly what he did.
Yeah, I think that's why. It was because it was right after that fucking Dark Side of the Ring. So it's very fresh in people's minds. People like us would have probably been like, oh shit, look, it's the Benoit thing. Even without that special that just happened.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got it. Plus, I don't see how. I mean, he. It's not like he's trademarked that. I mean, if he thought that was a good way to kill himself, then that's obviously a good thing to do to people in hardcore matches.
There you go. They should have put a towel around his neck first, like he did. That
like if he jumped, way if to he go. Jumped off. If he jumped off his roof, right? He jumped off his roof and someone gets thrown off the Hell in the Cell, are they going to turn around and say, oh my God, that's what Benoit did? He jumped off his house.
Well, I think it's because it's something very odd that is not normal. Because I think if somebody, you know, put a gun to their head, you wouldn't go, oh, you know, because it's like, well, people do that. Or a specific way. If you kill yourself in a weird, specific way, like I think, you know, if they had somebody trying to jerk off and hang themselves, then they would think it's David Carradine.
They were not replicating that. They didn't put like 200-pound of weights down.
Oh, I don't think they meant it even close.
All they basically, the match was barely planned. The big spots were obviously, they probably cut to do him, but I think they were just told to brawl and fill a certain amount of time. And then they were running around the performance center and came across some stuff and just used it. I don't think they even gave it a second thought. And I don't understand why losers did. And secondly, why are you offended by it? Why is everybody offended by it?
I haven't seen anyone offended. I always just see everybody make fun.
Oh, Meltzer's really offended.
Oh, really?
He said
God.
He's saying it was disgusting. And
oh, he's one of these fucking people? Oh, fuck.
And he should have been edited out. But I mean, but he gave the match like zero stars.
Really? Oh, get off your fucking high. Oh, by the way, he never even replied to me when I messaged him about hooking up with you for information. Because I got his personal email. not a peep.
Yeah, he probably doesn't want to acknowledge.
I guarantee he doesn't want to acknowledge. Because I thought his best reply would be, who's he? And do that whole fucking bullshit. But he knows, so he didn't even reply.
The Street Profits, well, so Edge won that match with
his acting skills from Vikings.
Yeah, that, I mean, that was good, but it's still 20 minutes too long. Because this show, with that 20 minutes taken out, do you realize if Edge and Orton had gone 17 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they could have gone 27 minutes and they could have taken 10 minutes off the fucking women's match because that felt really long as well. But if they had gone that time, if they had cut 15 minutes off the Edge match and 5 minutes off the Bayley match, mm-hmm. they would have had 2 3-hour WrestleManias. They would have been no overrun. It would have been nice.
Yeah, that's a nice groove to be in. I would even take, you know, on a normal day, at the worst, 5 hours. At the worst. Four is more appropriate, actually. That should be.
Yeah, this there was a 2:59 and 3:23, I believe. So, yeah, those 23 minutes, we didn't need them. The Street Profits defeated Garza and Austin Theory, as it obviously works, because the match was just chucked in. Those filler stuff's really pointless.
Yeah.
Bayley defends her title in this fucking long match that put me to sleep. And then I woke up. Austin woke me up for the Firefly Funhouse. And I didn't know if I was fully awake when I was watching it, to be honest. Like
what the hell is going on?
Interesting. Yeah, it was texting and stuff. And the only thing I really grasped what was going on was the next day. We'll talk about it in a second. Just an interesting thing. Mm-hmm. Drew beat Brock, and Wikipedia has Big Show and Drew McIntyre listed as the main event.
Really? I saw that it was listed as a dark match.
No, what I'm looking at here is that it comes after the...
oh, my God.
Stupid.
And the way they did that was so bad, where he's like, there's nothing you could say to make me wrestle you. Well, he didn't say anything because he slapped him. Okay, ring the bell.
Yeah, bearing in mind I could edit it. There was also a part where Big Show said, I'm not here for a match next pay-per-view or even tonight.
Oh.
and then it was on tonight. Just backtracking, do you like this women's match or not?
I was confused in the beginning because I probably just don't pay attention. I had no idea it was an elimination match. I thought it was one fall. And I was like, the first thing I thought was Sasha was helping pin at once and whoever, Lacey or someone, kicked out. And I went, well, that makes no sense because what if they got the pin? What, are they both champions? I had no fucking idea that it was elimination. So
see, I don't have a problem with their retaining because you can tell.
No, keep it going.
You can tell like this is the kind of show where they've decided it's WrestleMania, but it's not really WrestleMania.
Yes.
Because they set up stuff here with Bayley watched Sasha get pinned by Lacey, which sows the seeds for when you can do stuff in a proper stadium where if Sasha can face Bayley and maybe beat her or whatever. And Drew and Brock didn't have a proper match. I mean, that can be.
I was hoping Drew would lose, to tell you the truth.
There's various Becky and Shayna. There's various stuff that's open ended. So I don't know if the next match is though. It's the Firefly Funhouse match, which I guess Cena could face Bray Wyatt again because he's only faced him in this. What seemed like watching it back now. And obviously circumstances dictate that this gets on WrestleMania. But this seemed like an amazing version of the Firefly Funhouse to put on Raw,
mm-hmm.
but probably not, except definitely not acceptable under normal circumstances to do as a match. But as I've watched it back the second time and then the third as well, like an hour or two ago, it does seem to get cleverer as I watched through and I think I understand completely what it is now, but what was your take on it? Because
I
didn't get anything from you.
I enjoyed that. I thought it was like being on an acid trip. And
yeah, it was like that. That's why I said when I was waking up to it, it was weird. I wasn't sure if I'd fully woken up or not, but it was just so odd. And the first time round, I really didn't get it either. Like,
The throwbacks brought me back when it was doing like Saturday Night Main Event. I got warm and fuzzy from that.
I got what everything was the first time around, but I didn't get the significance to It just seemed like a load of random
shit. Oh, I think it was a load of random stuff just to make it like it's a fucking fun house. Like it's just madness.
And, oh, that's not my take at all.
Oh, see, I have it being just a mind fuck. And you got put in a fun house, which is fun house mirrors and mazes. And you don't know where the fuck you're at. And you're just, you're in a different reality. Because it was like he was in a dream that he couldn't wake up from because he kept doing ruthless aggression. And couldn't swing his fucking arms. So it was almost like he was in a fucking dreamland. And things are just fucked up. Yeah.
He was paralyzed by his nightmares. Because basically all the negative criticisms about him were all in the Firefly Funhouse. So the first, he couldn't get over as the character. Mm-hmm. He couldn't get over initially.
Which is weird looking when he's dressed up like that, but his hair's long.
Yeah. The rap guy, they said it was stupid that everything he said had to rhyme and he addressed it.
Which was still great, the raps that he was doing. I fucking love rap scene.
He's been called a weightlifter that can't wrestle. So he was in there doing the weightlifting gimmick as well. And then it all goes back to WrestleMania 30 where he didn't smash him and kill him, and this time he did, but it's obviously too late because Wyatt has now managed to resurface like 6 years later. I mean, I think it all made sense. And obviously then the main thing, which the main gift that people are using, the NWO stuff, that was all how Cena in his mind didn't want to, always had the idea to turn heel and just couldn't cope. And when he was beating up the pig, that represented the fans who always wanted him to do this, and he was always fighting his own urges, because inside the real Cena wants to just be in the NWO, which is the most link to a heel that you can, the quickest and most simplistic link to a heel that you can be. And obviously, I mean, they obviously spoke to Cena and got his thoughts and said, if you had to do it, you know, if you were going to do it, how would you do it? His input would have been, it'd be the same as Hogan joining the NWO. So,
well, they stole our idea. Remember that whole thing? I still love our idea. I still love it that the current NWO that we would have happen. And didn't we? Who was the fucking? It was Cena as Hogan. I think we had Drew in there, and who else was the other guy?
I absolutely no idea.
Fuck, we might have to go back and try to find that fucking show. God, that was fun though. We went through that whole thing about how they would fucking do this. We're like, fucking Drew needs the pitches. That's when they weren't doing shit with Drew too. So,
and that's the thing. Like, Cena needs to be the leader of that if it ever happens, because he's the only one with enough credibility to be Hogan. And I think, I mean, that was my takeaway from the match. But I guess anybody can take away anything from it and have their own perception of it. But my perception was that he was encountering all his fears and nightmares, which is what the Firefly Funhouse does to you. And that's how Bray Wyatt ended up, you know, finding it, I guess, one day, and ended up coming out killing his old self. And because his old self died in there.
And the Bray doing the You Could Look But You Can't Touch song. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's another thing. Another
failure.
That's another failure or nightmare or whatever.
Should be the best part about it that he got out of that.
I thought that was good. And now they're selling t-shirts where Vince is there going, this is good shit.
Oh my God. That was very surprising that they allowed that too. Where I'm like, Vince probably just doesn't understand it and know that they're making fun of that, you know.
So I thought you'd have like a stronger like stance on whether you like this or not.
I liked it fine. Obviously the Boneyard was better, but I liked it for what it was. It was fucking trippy and bizarre.
And I waited 3 days to hear that you just think the same as me.
Basically
you just think the same thing. Like that it wasn't up to the level of the Boneyard, but it was perfectly acceptable and clever. Did you hear what Cornette had to say?
No, I didn't listen to what Cornette said. Did he shit on it or did he like it?
Oh, yeah. He just said wrestling's like dead.
Oh, God. Here we go. It's got to be that Smoky Mountain shit then, I guess, to be fucking good.
I usually agree with most of the stuff he says, but I think he's just a bit out of touch with this one, because this is consistent with the character. If it came out of nowhere, then he'd have a point. But this is very consistent with this Firefly Funhouse segments have been on TV for nearly a year. So for them to go ahead and do this, it does make sense.
You know, it's interesting too that from day one, remember how many people when Bray was starting this character? Oh, they hated it. And I said, give it a fucking chance. We don't even know what the fuck he's doing yet. And they're like, oh, they ruined him. And I'm like, that's the best thing they ever fucking did now, you know?
Here's a question for you. Mm-hmm. When they're back on, when this thing's over and they're back on TV with crowds, do they still do these kind of matches? Like, do they remember that they did this at WrestleMania 1 year and still do, like, not the exact, not Firefly Funhouse or...
But productions,
Or Boneyard, mate. Yeah, cinematic style matches. Do you think that they continue?
I think for Undertaker they do more than anything else, because I think the fans made it very known that they liked it, and it wasn't, what the fuck is this garbage? If they would have gotten that would have been the end of it. And I think they also know this is a way to extend Undertaker's fucking career and keep him going. But then there's that part of me, because that's very common sense. So the other part of me is that Vince goes, oh good, we never have to do that again. We have crowds. And just like forgets, like, well, you have another option now. You could actually do more things.
But he's the guy that wants to pretend he makes movies. So
yeah,
you would think that this would be up his street now.
Yeah, I don't know. He's hard to predict.
As long as he's not involved in it. I feel like
that's the problem.
I also feel like he did not produce these things and did not have any input in them. And he just got to watch them at the end. Because I don't trust...
No, I don't either.
His involvement at all.
No. Yeah, he'd be like, I don't get it. I don't want it. The end. Because we know it's one versus everyone, and he wins.
Okay, so McIntyre and Big Show is listed as the 10th match at WrestleMania, but it does have a D next to it, the dark match. But it is still listed last. But anyway, Drew beats Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship. It feels almost like, obviously it doesn't feel like it should. It does feel like almost an afterthought. It feels like I've known about this for over a week and a half as well. Also, right. But also, did I actually tell you guys?
What? The finish?
No, just the general thing that he would have to, that he would weigh one.
No, I think you K5'd us on it, actually. And watch, I have no idea fucking why. Like, we're running to the fucking papers about this fucking match.
I think his thing was a little bit like...
Did you say it was a double fucking, like, blow-off? So there was no title exchange thing originally? But then you had told me, you talked to him and said, have you had time reflect and hang out with the belt and all that? And that's when it was like, well, we don't have the fucking belts or something.
Oh, no, like, he's different. Like, Brock Lesnar's different, isn't it? He obviously left his belt there. Like, there's no, like, that was not applicable to Lesnar or Goldberg. Mm-hmm. But it was applicable to Rhea Ripley, who just carried on taking her NXT title around. But I've heard she had, like, visa problems as well, so maybe that's the reason why they did that. Mm-hmm. In this sense, yeah, it just feels like this is just something that happened at the end. It was like they were going to change this belt because the character had been built and he couldn't lose at this point, especially when you put out that documentary the night before. And Edge and, on a side note this weekend, Edge and Drew have done the two of the top five documentaries I've seen ever on the network. Now, that's saying something, because the documentaries are things that they actually do better than their TV shows. Mm-hmm. And actually the...
Which should be in place of Raw at this point. That's what they should be fucking putting out.
They should be in place of Raw, or they should be airing on Raw instead of just randomly putting on matches, which are pointless.
Yeah, from fucking Mania 5 years ago.
Right. And Drew's Chronicles and Edge's Chronicles over the course of the last 2 weeks would have built towards their matches, mm-hmm. which is stupid. Well, if you had it canned, well, why don't you show it? But yeah, it did tell the whole story. And then at that point, you feel so sorry for him. And it tells the journey of how disappointed he is and then how he's come to terms with it and how the whole world is suffering with him. And by that point, you know, if you watch that he's going to win the title anyway, mm-hmm. because the story just cannot be that he loses that at this point, unless you'd put it in the middle of the show and there was some kind of really bad DQ where like Heyman like jumped in after the Claymore or whatever. But I think when it was in this spot, there was no way that there was any doubt that it was going to be anything but him winning. And I think doing it at 4.5 minutes basically just tells us that we're going to do it again. And you've got nothing more out of this match than what you already knew on TV, which is the Claymore beats Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar needs to avoid the Claymore. Drew's a formidable challenger. He kicks out of the F5 at one. You need to do more shit to him to beat him. So next time they wrestle, they're going to have to do a lot more to each other to win. And that will just be it. Like, because finishers are supposed to be exactly that in terms of, it's supposed to be your best move. And these two went out there and just basically stuck to that. The way that this match suffered the most wasn't by anything that they did. And they were probably, and I know the fact that they were blind to it. It was down to what Goldberg and Strowman did, because you essentially had the two same title matches two nights in a row. And because of the closed door situation in the performance center, where guys were driven down to the performance center in a car, just to do their matches, therefore would not have seen any other matches. Drew and Brock would have had absolutely no idea what Strowman and Goldberg had already done.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you end up having two matches that end up being the same. And the combined total of the two title matches for this weekend was 6 minutes and 45 seconds.
Yeah, I did see that. That is extraordinary. My worry for Drew is, because we know Vince is insane, and Vince, I believe, takes this fucking coronavirus like it's against him, like it's personal, like it's WCW or something. And like, you know, because he's like, I won't let this fucking win. We're going to do this, you know, push on. It's all craziness. I worry that he looks back at this mania and says, I want this like practically erased from our fucking memories. I want this to go away. It never happened. And that they would take the belt off of Drew the second they can get into a fucking arena with people.
I disagree with you. I think that it's the opposite way around. I think that the spin will be that the NBA quit and the NHL stopped and baseball didn't start and all the soccer was canceled all around the world and UFC had to postpone events, but we kept going. Every single TV show we made, we did WrestleMania. WrestleMania is the one consistent thing in the United States of America that cannot be stopped by viruses or pandemics and terrorism. WrestleMania stands alone, and the WWE always entertain their fans no matter what. That's what it'll be. That's the spin of this situation. And they will broadcast it, and they'll show that they persevered above everybody else, when in fact what they really did was endangered themselves to a higher degree than anybody else. But their spin will be that we didn't quit on you guys like the NBA did and other people.
I agree with that whole part of it. My thought the other way was kind of like they erased Benoit from the record books, like it didn't happen. Like it happened, and they'll say we went ahead and everything, but they'll want to distance themselves from anything that happened on it because nobody cared about it. And they'll want to fucking do the real fucking shit later. When I saw in that thing when he won the Rumble and Drew was sitting there thanking Vince, and he's like, all right, now let's go. let's go. Like, what the fuck do you want Drew to do? Like, let's go. What, I got to pick it up again? What else do you fucking want? That was real weird to me when I saw that. Like,
they have any fucking control over anything.
Yeah, like, well, yeah, book me to win. I have a good fucking match. What do you mean, let's go? Like, you better pick it up. You know, you're lagging or something. That's what it came off. Very fucking odd. So I just don't trust. Well, Vince is a weird fucking guy. I mean, they don't play the Mania main event that Benoit was in. Like, in the Shawn Michaels fucking DVD, that one is missing? It's ridiculous. He's a fucking weirdo.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's just down to him.
Oh, you think that? I mean, fuck, a triple threat match because Benoit was in it? They won't put that on Shawn Michaels' fucking DVD of all his WrestleMania? It's Shawn Michaels' WrestleManias. And they leave that out because of the person that was in it?
I think the long term, I think, okay, you got deprived of a WrestleMania moment, but I wrote an article today. I'm going to just read it because it'll be more and make more sense.
Yeah,
and then
let's
finish
this
that.
Out. Yeah, because we're far in.
I put here, I talked a bit about Drew. I put just basically the background, and I put, you don't need to be a psychologist to watch a 40-minute Chronicle documentary to know that this wasn't how McIntyre wanted to win the championship. However, if ever a documentary bridged the gap between ourselves and a major celebrity, McIntyre's Chronicle is a bridge made of solid steel. During a time when many public figures have got it wrong by trying to relate to us with stupid shit like singing Imagine, which you saw, we all saw that video, or lecturing us about staying home from their $5 million estates, McIntyre's anguish is both genuine and relatable, and his real-life pain and loss candidly captured on film. During a time where uncertainty overshadows our livelihoods, there is almost a comfort in sharing in the sadness of someone who appears to be much larger than life, yet is equally brought down and affected by the unforeseen changes around the world. Not since Stone Cold Steve Austin wanted to punch his boss in the face has there been such a legitimate bond between fans and their champion. So it's the last paragraph. McIntyre didn't want to win the WWE Championship in a performance center. However, the long-term benefits of being the relatable champion, that's key in this, who guided us through this time, may go on to outweigh a singular WrestleMania moment. Drew McIntyre's Chronicle is a documentary that will outlive the past five WrestleManias. With the WWE finally producing content that actually acknowledged COVID-19, which it does, they delivered a documentary that will transcend the pay-per-view itself. As not only does it document WWE history, but history itself. Not only will we look back on it and remember COVID-19, but through the emotions of McIntyre, we'll once again feel and relate to what it did to us during this time in our lives, further solidifying our permanent bond with our new champion. So that's what I wrote as to how he could benefit from this. Because, as I said, when I used the Austin example, we relate to Austin because we fucking hate our bosses. And now we relate to him because we think everything's shit for us in terms of we're losing our money and we're having to stay at home and we're missing these events and there's no sports on TV. And then we watch this and go, actually, I feel sorry. He's in it with us. Do you get what I said?
Yeah, yeah, I do. I do exactly. No. And my only thought different of that would be because I know Umar said it, Nick has said it, Fausti said it, I've said it, you've said it, where it's, God, we feel fucking bad for Drew. But do we feel worse for Drew because we have a connection to Drew than the person that knows nobody that knows?
No. This is a common...
Would you feel bad for Roman? Comment.
But Roman's been there before. The reason why people are making this comment and everybody's making it is because the journey was so long, and then you get there and it's your first time and it's a new star. I think we would have felt sorry for everybody in this situation for the first time.
Do you feel bad for Braun? I don't.
But Braun...
I feel happy for Braun. That's what's odd.
Yeah, because Braun was shoehorned into the situation. Had Braun been announced as the number one contender from the beginning, then it would have been the same way. Roman has had multiple WrestleManias, and in fact, he's been lucky because even though he's not really even over, he's had chance after chance after chance. This is completely different. We felt bad for Bray when he was taken out of the WrestleMania main event, so it does work both ways. But this is so much worse because this is where everything's built up to this moment. Like, you're going to win the title for the first time. If there had been a pandemic in 1996, then Shawn Michaels would have been in this situation. And they'd have to do an Iron Man match with no fans.
God, you were mad. I don't even say it. Fuck.
But I think also in terms of that, it's like, I don't also think Drew's not Shawn Michaels as well, in terms of I don't think that he's a divisive babyface. I've not seen many comments where people don't agree with his push or have called him anything negative, or, you know, he's not like been shoved down your throat.
That's why, because he hasn't been shoved down.
Or they're saying that he's a fag, or they're saying that, oh, this is some kiddie shit. Like, that stuff hasn't been. He's a guy that went to the independents and then they decided to and earn people's respect, and they decided to go with him. It would have been the same had they done this with Ambrose. And if there's a handful of people that the fans like and respect enough that they would have got behind, it worked with Punk. It would have worked with Ambrose if he ever got the chance, because I think he had the universal credibility of casuals and of marks mixed. And Drew has the casual smark mix behind him. And I think they made the right decision. But obviously, this is not the right place to do it. But as I said, over time, that bond and sympathy that we have for him will last longer, because it won't be a case of, oh, we're sick of Becky Lynch, like people say nowadays. We're sick of Becky Lynch. We won't get sick of him, because I don't think it's going to be something that's shoved down our throats, because as far as we're concerned, he's still owed a moment. So I almost feel like we would accept him going all the way to next year and retaining the belt, or preferentially losing it and then chasing it to next year's Mania and winning it again.
Yeah,
I think you are.
You see that rumor about that, I guess, that Tampa would have it the year after next again?
I literally put that in the group chat.
Oh, did you? I haven't even seen it.
No, that's not a rumor. That's already been agreed to.
I wonder if they'll still do the pirate theme and go through that whole thing again.
I bet you they fucking keep everything.
Mm, God.
That they couldn't. I mean, they ended up making enough new stuff and trademarked enough shit like I was at home and all this kind of shit. I could not believe the trademarks that they bought.
I wonder if they'll do something like it'll say, you know, WrestleMania fucking 38, here we go again, or something like that. You know, it'll be, or let's try this again. One of those things. I think there'll be some goofy shit like that. They've got to. If they're putting these goofy shirts out for this, they have to make fun of it a little bit and do it. Because, I mean, we all thought Vegas was going to be after LA, but then I guess Vegas is going to be after Tampa.
Yeah, I think the thing is with the Vegas thing is that they were supposed to actually be one of the test events in there at a reduced capacity of I believe 60,000 in order for before the Raiders played there. WrestleMania was supposed to happen.
Mm.
But I think now the Raiders will get in first,
well,
right?
Well, no, yeah, the Raiders would be in this year. So it wouldn't have mattered. They're already a year late.
Wait, the Raiders start there in September this year?
Yes.
Well, that's 2 years late then. So why did I think that they were going to be a test event?
No, I think it's going to be, they won't even beat the Rams and Chargers.
Oh, wait. So wait, are they a test event for the LA one? Sorry,
no, because the Rams and Raiders are this year too.
Hmm.
Yeah, they're not beating anybody.
Everybody's in. So all these teams are in their new stadiums this September.
Yeah.
See, I think I might have got that wrong then, because somebody said to me that one of these WrestleManias, they're going to do it at 10,000 less capacity around because they need to, because before the NFL let an NFL team play in a new stadium, they need to have two other events registered. And it's the same rules over here for soccer. You need to stage two events before you allow soccer match in there.
Really?
Which was why all the stadiums always launch with some, I think Wembley launched with some Rolling Stones concert, or was it Tottenham Stadium launched with Rolling Stones or something?
That's awesome.
You have to stage two smaller events before you can go up to full capacity. In fact, the first event you need to do is usually like half capacity.
Huh. That's odd.
Maybe that's not US law or NFL rules or whatever.
Yeah, anyway, that's something I haven't heard. So, well, let's fucking close out. We've done an hour and a half.
We will have when you add the something at the beginning. So,
well, you're going to tell me. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Hope you've enjoyed our...
Maybe we put that fucking, those terrible fucking Stephanie announcements at the start.
All right, maybe I'll put the Stephanie announcement at the beginning.
No, don't. We'll find something better.
I was going to say, this show is too big for 1 hour. That's what we would name this.
You feel free to cut it up and say it's too big for one show. You
really and want. Have two nights.
God.
Go, we'll bullshit you just like they do. Tune in next week. We'll have some... see what the fuck they're gonna do.
You, actually, now you're done with this. Like, where are you? Where would you put this mania? Like, roughly, like how? Just God, that,
I,
that's the lot. That,
I think
that
it's the worst.
Final question.
It's the worst.
You do.
Yeah, it's just the no crowd makes it the worst.
You can never watch it again. There's nothing on this show.
I could watch that Taker thing and the other one, the Funhouse. That's it.
Okay. Well, then already, like for me, that there's nothing at all that I ever desire to watch from 11 or even 9 other than Hogan winning. I firmly put it above those two and a WrestleMania I've went to, which is 27.
But you had Bam Bam Bigelow, right? And LT at 11.
Yeah, I know, but it was bad.
I don't think that was a terrible fucking match because it looked like a fucking real fist fight. LT was fucking swinging and shit. I mean, he was a fucking Hall of Fame football guy. I mean,
the show is so. There's some bad manias.
You get Pam Anderson looking all the way live with Jenny McCarthy.
9, 11, 12, 13, 16, 27, 29, all bad. So 35. So, but I don't think this is better than all of them. I just think, you know, 2, 3. It's not the worst. Which
13
in itself,
is shit, except for one match.
Right.
Yes, I'll always say that. Drives me crazy.
We'll see what next year when I redo all the manias again after I did all of them this year. Mm-hmm. Then we'll see. But for you guys, every WrestleMania was reviewed and there was a top 10 moments and a top 10 matches list made, and it was done gradually. There was like 5 manias covered every podcast. There's 7 podcasts up on my feed, datasheets.net. So if you're still feeling WrestleMania-ish, then go through and check that out. And that's the last plug I want to do. Okay.
All right. Everyone, we'll be back next week. As Tony always likes to say, we're out of time.